Just an introduction, besides introducing ourselves. So today is kind of what I'd like to share, what Chris and I really kind of like to share as we are here in the States for some time and getting to meet with our, the fellow family, members of God's family. It's just a privilege to come and be able to speak and share what God's doing and all. And so as we've thought about that, as we've kind of tried to really seek God, what would He have us share? It's kind of a typical thing, is of course, as a missionary, as kind of an anomaly, stranger, kind of a weird person, something that's a little, our Tibetan friends in their English, they say, you are a little crack. Something is a little off about someone. It's just kind of what we do. This is kind of what we'd like to share. Just what we do, but not so much that as why we do it. And I think that is what is more important. Is why in the world would we live in Kathmandu, Nepal? I mean, some people have gone there and they love it. And those people really are a little crack. They really are a little strange. Good morning. We love it, and not because of what it is, not because of the place, not because of the food. Those things we have learned to appreciate, and we like those things and everything. But really, it's not about that. And we love it because that's something that God has given us, and it's not of us. It's not from us. We have no ambition to live there or to be in that kind of. Live international and travel. The travel gets old really quick, and especially with kids. So anyway, what we like to do is just share kind of what we do and why we do that. So in introducing ourselves, my name's Ryan Parker. My wife Kristen and I met in college at Southern Baptist College in Charleston, South Carolina, called Charleston Southern University. And we had a really good football season this year until the last two games, which is a bummer. But we met there in school, and my wife's from Connecticut, and I'm from Charleston, South Carolina. So there was, we live cross-culturally. Well, part of our first relationship and everything was very cross-cultural. The first time I went up to Connecticut, I worked at a summer camp and with Kristen. It was all hot and just, it was like normal camp counselor life. And I went to this little diner up there afterwards, just dirty and hot and sweaty. And I sit down at the counter and I said, "Can I have a sweet tea?" And the lady, it's middle of June, hot and sweaty. She brings me this hot cup of tea with sugar on the side. And I just, "Can I have a water, please? This is ridiculous." When we were in college, we really were just trying to figure out what is it that we'll do with our life. It's kind of a typical question for American college students. You have to declare a major. You have to say, "This is what I'm going to do for my career, the rest of my life." You have that big question. What am I going to do with my life? And I had changed my major 5 times my freshman and sophomore year, and because I had no clue. And I was at this Christian school, so I had to take Old Testament and New Testament classes, so I had to read the Bible, and which sounds funny now, but at that point it was like, what in the world would I do that for? I'm trying to figure out my life here. Well, I'm going to sit down and read this. And I had to read it for class. So I'm sitting there reading in the Old Testament, seeing God's heart for all people. And and that just was an amazing thing to me, to see that God's vision, God's purposes were all-encompassing. Every people, everywhere in the world. And then reading the New Testament, the same thing. That's why Jesus came. That's who we are as His people, are to go out to all people and everywhere. And it's not like, oh, everybody's got to go away. Because if everyone goes away, we're all just going to be going away all over the world. It's not that, but just every single individual. In 2 Peter 3:9, Peter's letter, he's writing and trying to answer the question, why hasn't Jesus come back? We're saying, Jesus coming back, he's returning. And the people are asking, well, where's Jesus? How come he hasn't come back yet? And Peter says, well, it's not because God is slow. Says God hasn't returned, Jesus hadn't come back, not because God is slow, as we might think of being slow or lazy or something like that, but because God is patient, because he doesn't want anyone to perish. So we look at something like in Revelation 7:9 and 5:9, says there's going to be people before the throne of God from every nation, every tribe, every people, every language. Going to be someone from all of those groups worshiping God. We're going to be doing that together. And we look at that and go, man, that is amazing. How in the world? Only God can do something like that. But it's not just that big. God's heart, his desire, his patience is for every single individual. God isn't just sitting back going, okay, we got 5 believers from that people group. Okay, let's move on. No, his heart is for every single individual. And so, you know, we need to have that same heart. And when we were in school, we were praying through, what does God want for our lives? That was the big question. God knows us. He made us. He knows what's best for us. So we gave our life to that. And went to Southeastern Seminary in Wake Forest, North Carolina, for a couple years. And finished schooling overseas in Nepal. When I was 24, I went to Nepal, which is funny to think now when we get teammates that are 24, and I'm thinking, how in the world did people let me come over at that age? I'm just kidding. I'm sure I was a lot more mature than some of those guys that come out. But I'm just joking. No, we've been really blessed. We have a team of right now 4 other families. And some of those are in Nepal, some are in northwest India, where lots of the Tibetan refugees live that have come over from China, where the Dalai Lama and the leadership of the Tibetan people, where they all reside in exile. So we have teammates up in those communities engaging them. And we've got several singles, some that are there for 2 years in the journeyman program with the IMB, that we've got others that are there for 6 months. 6-month terms and things, and we've been there for 8 years now, Kristen and I, and are the team leaders for all that work among Tibetan people groups that are scattered throughout the Himalayas. So it's a big kind of educational document to try and download to you, and that's not the point. The point of this morning is not to give you history, world history, and people group history, and that kind of thing. But it is good to understand kind of the nature of our work. And so when you think about like Chinese or Indian people, you know that word refers to lots and lots of different people groups. Just like we would think of Native Americans. Well, there's all kinds of different kinds of Native Americans. You know, obviously the Cherokee or Sioux or something like that's a big name. But even within that, there were small groups. Where I'm from in Charleston, there were the Edisto and Wando and Kiowa and Yamasi. And I mean, just all kinds of those. So when we say something like Tibetan, for example, it's the same issue. Tibetan refers to lots and lots of different kinds of people. But their ethnicity, their heritage is all the same. And so their language is similar, their culture is very similar, their religion is all very similar. So for our team, we are engaging, we are ministering among the Tibetan peoples of the Himalayas in Nepal and in India. There's lots of Tibetans that live in China, but those are other teams that engage that. And so when you think about that, it's helpful to understand. We have a team that has 4 other families. And we have all the, not all these, we have right now seven single people on our team. So that's a pretty big team that's engaging these people groups. But we have over 30 different people groups. And they are spread from one end of the country all the way to the other, all over the Himalayas. And some of our people are in an 8-hour Jeep ride to get to. And most of that is off-road. And that is the closest people group to access. Most of our people groups are 2 days of flying, hiking for a week to get to their village, just the first village. So it's a really big issue of just access to these people. And that's one of the major reasons why there are not very many believers among Tibetans. And so what we try and do is as Jesus said, you know, look into the harvest fields, they're ready. They're white for harvest. Just pray that God will send out workers into the harvest fields. And so that is part of what your church has done in the work and the role that those the volunteers that have come over. And with Lakeside in Arkansas, that we last year had 14 volunteer teams. So we do a lot to try and increase the number of teammates, the number of partners, the number of workers that are going out among these people. And the work is real simple. It's not this grandiose program or scheme or anything like that. It's meeting people where they're at and trying to share the gospel, trying to share the good news of what God's done for us, what he's done for them, and what he wants to do in their life and save them and among their people. And so we share, we disciple those new believers, and we try and help them form into churches. So that's our work, just in a nutshell, in a very small nutshell. And there's a video that we have, if we could show that kind of gives an idea. You know, it's really difficult to give you an idea of what it's like working with these people, what it's like living there in Kathmandu. It's a real place. Kathmandu is a real place. But because we can't, you know, you can't really hear it. You can't feel it. You can't taste the food. You can't smell it. But the video can give you a better picture of what it's like over there. And after that, I'll share with you kind of why we do that and hopefully encourage you with that. So, oh yeah, Kristen wants me to mention. Now, in the video, there's a lady that's blacked out. Because this video is actually posted on the internet, it's a public video. And that is actually Kristen. It doesn't say it's her for security reasons. But anyway, if we could show that.
People that we work with practice Tibetan Buddhism, and it's different than traditional Buddhism in the fact that they are actually worshiping deities or some form of gods, spirits, and actually there's a lot of demon possession also involved. They believe that the demons can give them power. But I would say for the average person, for them, it's about karma, and it's about doing good enough things in order to gain a better afterlife. And then ultimately to gain nirvana, to basically non-exist. Because if you don't exist, then you don't suffer, and there's no sin. And so their ultimate goal is to not exist. The people look hopeless. They just walk around and around and around, and they just don't really have... They don't really have a hope. Like for us, we know we have a hope in Jesus. We know that when we die, we will go and be with Jesus because of what he did for us. And they don't have that hope. They are just putting their hope in what they've been told. If they do enough of these good things, then they'll get what they're looking for. We started Blessed Hope here in Nepal because God gave me a real passion for women and for seeing women grow in discipleship, and then for women to have an opportunity to hear the gospel. we also knew that the opportunities here for women are so small for them to have work. And so by being able to provide work for them through making cookies, through making jewelry, good work where they can be creative, where they can have time to still serve their families, and in a healthy environment, we knew that that was something that we wanted to do. And we started fetal development trainings to help them learn more about their bodies and what's going on as God creates life and makes life inside of them. And then we're also, most importantly, able to share with them the truth about the gospel and that God is the creator of all things and that he's the creator of them and he has amazing plans for their lives and that he's the one who's provided a way of salvation and we're able to share that.
Wow.
Sonam is a girl. She's 21 now, but when we met her, she was 17. We had found out about her from one of our national partners. He said, I know this girl who's a believer, but she doesn't have anyone discipling her, and she doesn't come to church, but I think that she could probably help you in your women's ministry. Sonam started meeting with our Journey Girls regularly for discipleship. She was on board from the moment it started. She would call our Journey Girls at 6 in the morning and say, all right, ready to go share the gospel now. And she was just hungry. It was the right time. God was really working in her life. The hands-on girls have just really poured into Sona. They've spent just time with her and just done amazing things with her, been able to share the gospel and see God do amazing healings and stuff.
Eliza and Alexis helped me learn about Jesus and sharing the gospel for other people.
We just watched how she's prayed for her family, just continuously prayed for her family. And other people who've come before us have prayed for specifically their family. And I've seen her mom come to Christ, and I've seen two of her brothers come to Christ. And we've been able to share with her sister multiple times, and she has shared with her mother-in-law.
Sonam is light in a dark place. She's an absolute integral part of the work that we do here with Blessed Hope. She loves people, she loves Jesus, and she's kind of the bridge between us and the people. It's been awesome to watch her grow, to watch her change, to watch her life be impacted by Jesus. And then it's just an awesome thing to be able to watch the way that her life impacts all the people around her that she shares with.
So that's just gives you kind of a picture. That's just one of lots of kind of relationships and avenues that we try and engage the people in. Just my wife has been with our teammates that have been some single girls in our team for the last several years, and trying to engage the ladies. How do you, when you think about a people group that doesn't have Christians among them, how do you begin to try and get that people group from Tibetan Buddhism that is all about trying to earn some sort of salvation that just means you stop existing, which is what Buddhism is teaching and trying to achieve. How do you go from that to a personal relationship with a God that has made you, that has saved you from your sin, from all of those things, and wants to give you new life? How do you go from that? From hopelessness to this clear, there's one God, he's provided a way of salvation. And there's lots of ways that you try and engage them in relationship and be creative. And that is a real struggle. That's a real, the difficulty of trying to just work out the gospel in our life. Just trying to be people that have really been changed by God, that really have an understanding of what God has done for us and done for those people. And just trying to love on them and follow God as he leads us. And, you know, for us to come and share with you about our work, it's kind of bittersweet. You know, we've been there for 8 years. There were 30 people groups then that need the gospel, and there still are. But among those people at that time, 8 years ago, only 5 of those were being engaged. We had people, Christians, trying to work among them, live among them, relate to them, and share the gospel. Now, there are 17. So we have seen in just 8 years a major growth of people being able to get access to the people groups. Major interest in Rasuwa, among the Kirung people, which the team that went in the mountains last year went among. Krista and I took the kids and went with some national partners and teammate and went up to those villages. And it was a blessing to be able to go do that for us personally, because we've been working among lots of people groups for lots of years and not seen very much fruit, not seen much more than people just say, "I understand what you're saying. I like Jesus. I like Christian things. I like the story you're telling me. But I just can't believe that, because I can't make that personal for me. I'm afraid. Or, you know, that's good for you, but not for me. I don't want to say, deny who I am, deny all my people. I'd rather just bet on what everyone's always told me, that, you know, I'm just going to get another life after this. I'll just be reincarnated." Even though they don't have any hope in that. They just figure, well, you know, there's not really a whole lot of urgency when I've got a million more lives to live out. And so it's a real struggle. When we went to Rasuwa last spring, we were there, we were sharing with some people, and went up to the little village of Kaidi and saw the old guys. Half of them were three sheets to the wind, and it was like 11 o'clock in the morning, and it was a little early to be drunk, but anyway, we were sharing with the families that were there, the women and their kids, and going to the next village, and people were not just saying the same old things of, "Well, I'm Tibetan, so I'm Buddhist. Oh, all religions are the same." They weren't saying those things. They were going, "Wow, you know, I really need to consider this. Well, what you're saying about this and about truth is that if you're right, if what you're telling me is true, what will this mean for my whole life? Wow, I really need to consider these things. Please, let's talk more about this." So, you know, we're not able to come back and say, you know, this village came to Christ, this family came to Christ. We're not able to say that in the most of these areas. But we are able to say that God is working, and it is evident. That it's kind of like a big boulder. You know, you just slowly, it takes forever to get that thing moving, but once it starts moving, you can kind of see the momentum. You can see the movement coming. And we really see that in that area. And our friend Songbu, who's been engaging a people group near there for 11 years, and there's only maybe 10 believers among that people in 11 years, of thousands of people, maybe 10 Christians, and they're spread out. And it's just real hard. The people are just hard in their hearts to change. And we went with him to Rasuwa and meeting these people. And he was just so encouraged. He said, "Man, we need to focus on this area, because God is obviously working in these people's hearts." And so there is a good report that we have that God is not lazy. He's not slow. He's not just hanging out, doesn't care, but he is active and he is fulfilling his mission. And you know, we just want to encourage you with that, to know that the work among the Tibetan people in Nepal is seeing fruit. In the far eastern side of Nepal, we've seen several families come to Christ. And before 2 years ago, there were no believers among that people group. We just praise God that those things are happening. Things are happening. And we want to thank you. You know, part of us coming today is really just to give thanks to you guys. You know, we thank God for what he's done with your church and through you and your giving. And your, you know, certainly in giving to the Lottie Moon offering, and that supports us, supports the IMB missionary, supports us as Southern Baptists, missionaries that have been, you know, we're in the Southern Baptist Church, in college and in seminary, and really feeling God's calling on our lives. And to go to people groups that don't have a chance to hear, And if it wasn't for the partners, the cooperation of the churches to enable us to be sent out, it'd be a very different story that we would be coming and reporting to you about the struggles of trying to get support and those kinds of things. So we really, please hear that we are very grateful for every one of you for that and your giving. But even more than that, and it's hard, I think, as Americans to really think that something is more important than money. You know, that's just kind of our culture and how we prioritize things. But your prayer, I mean, seriously, when you think about the Tibetan people, there are not very many people that know anything about Tibetans, about Himalayans, about Nepal. And half the time we talk about Nepal, people say, oh, is that, they think is Naples, Florida, or Italy, or something like that. Kathmandu, is that a real place? I mean, so for your church to pray for our team, our work, our people groups is a blessing. That is a unique thing. There are not very many churches in the whole world that are praying for those people. And we really greatly appreciate that and thank you for that. So, you know, kind of why we do this, which we really feel like is most important. And it's in 2 Corinthians 4. 13, 14, and 15. It's real simple. And I think a lot of times we read this and we don't get really the depth of what this should mean for us as Christians. A lot of times it's one of those verses, it seems, you know, we can read, we've read it so many times, it just loses its real meaning for us. And you know, that happens a lot. So we'd like to share it with you this morning. Okay, Paul he's talking to the Corinthian church. Guys he ministered among, he led to Christ. Here's this church he's helped form. And he's kind of trying to talk through some issues here. There's lots of things going on with the Corinthian church. Lots of problems and all kinds of things. So here he's just discussing who he is, what he was doing there. And why in the world did Paul go to Corinth and live there among them and share and stuff? So he says, it is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. And Paul says, with that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak. Because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in his presence. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Now, we've been sharing this for months. This is the first time that I've really picked up on the fact that it's Thanksgiving this week, and here it is in the verse. But that was not intentional. So when we see this, we look at it and go, okay, it's real simple. Paul went there and he shared because he believed this is true. And it's one of those things of like, if you really believe this is true, that Jesus was raised from the dead, if you don't believe that's true, we have no business meeting together, worshiping God, reading this book. That's silly. It's absolute silliness if you don't believe Jesus was raised from the dead. What's the point? Just so we can be better? So we can feel good? We can fellowship together? And that just, Paul says later, if Jesus didn't get raised from the dead, we should be pitied the most of anyone in the whole world. Because we are putting our lives on the line. We are throwing everything we have to caution, to abandonment, just for the sake of our belief in the resurrection of Jesus. But if we do believe Jesus was raised from the dead, then what is it? What in the world could ever stand in front of or stand between us and following him? If he's the one that died for my sins and rose from the grave, how can I argue against Jesus' commands on my life? His his desire for my life. A lot of times with talking with Buddhists, they say, well, you know, Buddha, he was a good teacher, and he lived long before Jesus did. Buddha came in the time of like Isaiah and Jeremiah and Daniel. So 500, 700 years before Jesus was born. Well, okay. You know, if you just take that rationalizing, just why Buddhism might be more authoritative. Okay. So when did Buddha raise from the dead? Well, he didn't. When did Buddha say, I'm going to raise from the dead and I'm going to teach, prove to you guys what I say is true is true. He didn't do that. Nobody did that except Jesus. And that is why when we were in college, we weren't these awesome Christians. Please don't think that. That's not who we were. We were just silly college students. But we knew as we read the Word, wow, if this is true, if God did that for me, 2,000 years before I ever sinned once, He died for all my sin. All right, God, my life is yours. You know, just lead me, because you know what's best. I haven't the slightest idea. So we've just given our life to that. Very simply. We didn't go to seminary, get awesome, become awesome. Of course, I'm not saying we are now either. But it wasn't like that. And then God said, okay, now I can use you. It wasn't like that. We said, God, this is what you've done for our life. Hey, I've got to tell somebody. I've got to be about that. That has to be part of who I am. Very simply. Now, the difference is, for Kristen and I, why do we do that in Nepal? Not in Charleston, South Carolina, where we would much rather live. The reason is, just like with Paul, when you think about, why did Paul go to Corinth? Because God called him. He led him to that place. God said, you're going to go to these people, to the Gentiles. God led him on those trips to those different people groups. And he went there. He followed after the Holy Spirit's leading. And he went to those places. He shared with them. And so that's the same thing. For us, we learned about Tibetans in Nepal. We went there, not having ever gone there before. And we were just talking about it on the drive here, just how long ago it was we went there. And it's just kind of funny what we thought life was going to be like moving to Nepal, that we were going to live in like a little hut. We didn't know that Kathmandu is like this giant concrete city of concrete apartments everywhere. And we just didn't know what it was like. So we went out there, okay, God, we know you've called us to these people for this time. It's fine with us, whatever it looks like. And so, you know, for us, as we come and meet with you, we certainly want to say thank you for your prayers, your giving, your support of us in sending teams to the work to partner with us. But we also want to encourage you and challenge you to not just go, we had these missionaries that were either, from your perspective, I don't know, if we were weird or if we were awesome or we were just normal people. Hopefully it's the last one. Because for us, you know, we don't feel all that different, other than the fact that we've lived in Nepal for a long time. But that you would hear that what we do, why we do that, why do we share with people, is because God has changed us. The same term, the same sentence. You know, we believed, and that's why we share it, as in Acts, when Peter and John have healed this guy, this crippled man, and they get hauled before the Sanhedrin, the Jewish leaders. They're telling them, what in the world did you do that for? You can't speak about this anymore. You can't talk about Jesus anymore. You know, we crucified him. Stop that. Well, Peter says, judge for yourselves whether it is right in God's sight to obey you rather than God. For we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. Now, what they saw and heard was the resurrection of Christ. And what that meant, what Christ's resurrection means for all of us, for all people, is that just above it says, Peter says, salvation is found in no one else. There is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Christ is the gospel. Jesus is the good news. When we go among a people, we go into our community, we meet people and say, hey, can we go have tea? I'm from America. My wife and I live here. We've been here for several years. We do lots of different things, teach English, ministry stuff. We actually own a Mexican restaurant in Kathmandu called the Lazy Gringo. And I mean, we live there. And the people will say, well, that is very strange. Why? Well, because God has changed our life. And He has a plan. He has a desire for all of these people in Nepal. And we're talking to this person. And for you to know what God wants for your life. That God loves you. He wants to save you. He wants to give you salvation. I said, well, that's just weird. What are you talking about? Well, God has a plan for you. God wants you to be forgiven, wants you to have peace, wants you to know love. And as we share those things, those are very foreign. This is the first time they've ever heard about a God like that. And for us, that is what has happened in our life in a very real way, is that we have been saved by the good news that Jesus is the Christ. He is the promised one of God. He is the one that from the beginning, God said, is coming to redeem man. And God's fulfilled that purpose. Jesus came, He died for our sins. He rose from the dead, and He's given us this mission, the gospel mission. That, you know, when you think about your community, and there are so many stories about so-and-so and these issues and what's going on in your family's life and in your work and all that stuff. The challenge is, how does this church, how do we as the body of Christ live out the gospel? How do we hear those things and not gossip about them, but apply the good news of Christ? How do we gospel about those things? How do we become God's hands and His feet, His body working, His family right here working and living out the truth and the love of Christ among your people here? And we want to challenge you as brothers and sisters in Christ that this community will know the love of Christ, will know the salvation of God from your church, from God working through this church. Because we've seen you guys come over to Nepal and share that with our people groups. And so it is an honor for us to come and to spend time with you, to share with you, and to challenge you in Christ to join with us in that work as we try and follow after Christ. Our pastor in North Carolina recently said, when you get to the end of your life, you don't say, man, I had a successful life because my faith was so big. My vision was so big because I understood so much. Because I knew God had this huge plan. You don't get to the end of your life and go, you know what? I really knew what God wanted for my life. And because of that, I'm successful. You don't do that. That's not success. A football team doesn't end the game saying, oh, we knew we should have won that game. That's success. No. Success is you went out there and they ran the plays. They did the best they could. That's success. For us in our life as a Christian, it is understanding that God has saved us by grace. We live in that grace. And we go step by step, day by day by day, just living out what the gospel means for us. What does it mean that Christ has saved me? By grace. Nothing I did. There's nothing I'm doing to make God love me more or make Him love me less. He's perfect, and His love is perfect for us. So we want to challenge you to continue in your faith, continue in your giving, in your prayers, and support of our people. As we come to you representing the Tibetan people of Nepal. And we thank you for what you've already done. But we also want to challenge you to be about the gospel. To be about the good news of what God has done. His grace real in your life. And what he has done through you and in your life. So let's pray. God, just as Paul says later chapter 6 of 2 Corinthians, that let us not take our faith in vain, but knowing that our time is limited for everyone on this earth, and while it is called today, let us go be about your good news. Not to earn your salvation, because God, we praise you that you have saved us just out of your goodness. As a free gift. You're so perfect in your love that you just give it as a free gift for us to accept. God, we thank you and praise you for that. We thank you for who you are, that you are loving, that you are perfect, that you are personally involved in our lives, that you have a plan, you have a desire for us, you want to use us for your work. God, we don't deserve that. We thank you that you still use us. As broken, as messed up as we can be. God, thank you that you take us and you make us into the people that you want us to be. You use us for your good works. God, I thank you for this church, for these people that you have called together as a church, as a body, a local group of your people. God, I ask that you continue to strengthen them, to draw them close to you, that they would be unified in the gospel, unified in their salvation, and just honoring you, God. And we pray for this community, all the places that this church touches. We pray that they would go out as your people, as your representatives. It would be bringing the good news of grace, of love to those people. And I thank you so much for this time together this morning. Thank you that you would be with us, that you would hear us when we pray. And I ask that you would glorify yourself through us today. Thank you for your love. Amen.